your host, Robert Wilson. Who is this? Cynthia.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Cynthia. What's going on?
Listen, I have these people calling me about student loans. There are various different people, different numbers, trying to get me to lower my rate. Is there a number I can call? Because I asked the one lady, how did she get my number? And she said she got it from the government student loan list.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, is there a main number I can call and have my number removed from that list? I'm tired of them calling me.
Not necessarily, because see, your name is not going to be removed from that list because you are actual creditor of the government. You have student loans, right?
No, I don't. My daughter does.
But is you a co-signer on them?
No.
Your name is not on them, period?
No.
Well, how are they calling you?
Because she gave them my number. We live.
So are they calling asking for you or asking for her?
Asking for her.
Okay. So then you tell her, stop giving your number out. But see, listen, there's something that you might want to have your daughter think about, at least you might want to think about, because you're probably going to end up having to pay for it anyway, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, seriously, no.
Cynthia, when is the last time you bailed out or something?
I haven't. She's very, she's handling her business.
You've never had to bail anyone out?
I've helped her out, but nothing like that.
Oh, well, yeah, I helped her out, nothing
no,
like that.
No, but she's going to school to be a teacher, and she's in this program where she works so many years, and they pay off so much of it.
Yeah, that's what she's hoping.
Well.
See, because now, since you said that she's in this program, I want you to ask her, do she have any Stafford loans?
Okay.
Okay.
Why?
Well, because Stafford loans, the only way that you get a reduction and a forgiveness of those loans is that you die.
Okay.
Okay? Now, if she have the National Direct student loans, as long as she worked for a Title VIII school, she can get that. She can get a reduction per year. Okay?
Give me that name again.
Stafford.
I got the Stafford. The National what?
National Direct student loan.
Okay.
Okay? Or a Perkins loan.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, let me give you this. The reason why they're probably calling, she probably have some very high interest rates. When did she get her loans? A few years ago?
Yes.
Okay, she's probably sitting at 8 or 9% when the rates right now are hovering around 3 and 4%.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I asked her, and she said she had already looked into getting the reduction.
The loan consolidation?
Mm-hmm.
So, she planned to do that when?
I assume she's already done it.
Okay. But, no, the only thing that I can say is, you know, there's a national do not call list. I don't have that number directly in front of me. Now, let me see if I do have that number in front of me. You could probably call them, but I don't know if that's going to do you any real good. And the reason why I say that is because the entity that's calling you is working within itself. You understand what I'm saying? They're not selling it to every Tom and Jerry out there. They're basically providing it to sources that's within their circle. It's almost like a FHA mortgage. If you got an FHA mortgage, you keep getting these companies that send you the FHA material and calling you on FHA.
Okay.
But
I got you.
I'm looking to see if I have that do not call number here. I may have it here.
Because I had put my name on the do not call list when they first came out with that.
Yes, that's only for about 3 years. How long has it been now? You should have at least another year on that thing.
Yeah.
But that's not where your name is coming from. You're
right.
It's not like it's being sold and flaunted around. Your name is actually coming from the entity itself. And I know I do not have that number in front of me.
Okay.
I do not have it.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Thank you. Uh-huh.
Okay, I got to come up with a very good question, a very difficult one, I guess. If you carry credit card debt, in what way would a credit card be the most valuable account that you could possibly have, good or bad? Who knows the answer to that? A credit card, good or bad, can be the most valuable account on your credit only if it is what? Who can fill in that blank?
Rob Wilson. Rob Wilson.
What can you do for me?
For me.
Hello, who is this?
This is Betty.
Hey, Betty.
Hi.
How you doing? You think you can answer this question?
I think so. Well, I'm going to give it my best.
Go for it.
I think it's because of the length of time that it's on your credit, because the credit score is also affected by the length of time that the account has been open.
Even if the credit card is good or bad?
That's right.
Huh?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You honestly believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Hold on a second. Congratulations, girlfriend. You're absolutely correct.
Well, thank you.
Hello, who is this?
Yeah, this is John.
Hey, John, what's up?
You're just calling from Jonesboro, but the minute ago, the lady asked about the no-call list,
mm-hmm.
and I've got some numbers if you want to take them or let me tell them out.
Well, there shouldn't be only, but should be only just one number. Which number do
you
have?
Well, I've got the national and I've got Georgia.
Okay, well, go ahead and give them both out to her.
Okay, the national is 1-888-382-1222. Go on the website, donotcall-gov. For Georgia, it's 1-877-426-6225. And that's ganocall.com. Georgia charges you $5.
Okay.
And that's all I wanted to put through, Rob.
You did a great job, man.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy listening to you.
I enjoy you listening, man.
All right. Uh-huh.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You know, guys, over the next few weeks, we're going to have some real fun with credit because, see, I'm going to throw so many different things at you that, you know, some of them are going to be so obvious, and then some of them are not going to be so obvious. You know, for instance, like when we talked about how a credit card, and earlier you heard me just chew out a lady and tell her that, you know, come on, a secure credit card cannot build up your credit. Secure credit cards is not the component that you want to build your credit. Listen, let me say this. There are several different levels of credit and finance. You got poor folks. You got the poor working class. You got the working class, working middle class. You have the middle class, and then you have the rest. And each level, things are different. In a poor environment, a secure credit card is what to reach for because you're not going beyond that. But you know what? Whatever you can get with a secure credit card over 6 months, if you waited 12 months, you probably could have got something completely different. Only because we act and we want and out of our own greed. And you know what? I'm saying this because, see, I know because I was one. I had secure credit cards. I sure did. I had the credit cards that wouldn't give you no more than $300 limits. And they charge you $290 to give you a $300 limit. So as soon as you get the card, you're paying back money. And you haven't even used the joker yet. You can't even go take a girl out on a date because you don't have no credit available. You can't even flash your credit card. But you got one. Secure credit cards are not the route to go. And I know in some of my material in the past, I've written, you know, secure credit cards. That was a moment of ignorance. It was a moment of ignorance. Any loan officer, any lender that is telling people to go out and collect and open up secure credit cards don't understand credit. I even hear credit professionals. I do. Really. I believe, listen to this. I believe that when we open our minds and change the way we receive information regarding personal credit, managing personal credit, developing personal credit, building personal credit, we'll understand that real dynamics of having a successful credit portfolio is directly associated with a financial portfolio. Now, your financial situation can establish, listen to this, here's something real good. A lot of people think that you have to make a lot of money to have high credit limits on credit cards. I know people who are making $30,000 and $40,000 a year that carries $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 available lines of credit on credit cards. And I know people who earn $50,000 and $60,000 a year that can't get a credit card. Now, you go figure that one out. And the reason is it has nothing to do with how much money you make. But see, there are some loan professionals out there that would tell you, oh, yes, it does, Rob. And then you know what I say to him? It depends on what type of model you're talking about. Because if they're talking about their customized model, then they do evaluate your income. They do. But based on your credit score, okay, any creditor can choose to establish a standard based on your income, based on how long you've been on your job, based on how long you've lived at where you live at, you know, based on the number of people in your house. There's many different ways that they can set standards. But when you understand that the whole scope of improving your credit score, you know, it has nothing necessarily to do with how much money you make. It's really how you manage your bills. And if you do it properly, if you manage your money, and see, all of this is going to come back to money management. I'm just sorry, folks. I wish I could tell you that, you know what, it's based on the number of letters that you can write. It's not. It's not based on the number of letters that you can write. It's based on understanding the dynamics of how they score. I want to leave you with a couple of things, and we're going to pick up on this tomorrow. The number of established accounts, the number of retail accounts, the number of bank revolving accounts and other revolving accounts, the number of revolving accounts. Uh-oh, wow. See, there's that twister in there. The number of bank and national revolving accounts. We're going to talk about those things tomorrow. They sound pretty much the same. There was one I left out. I want to know if y'all can figure them out. Tell me which one I left out. I'm going to give them to you again real quickly before I go. The number of established accounts, the number of retail accounts, the number of bank revolving and other accounts, the number of revolving accounts itself, the number of bank or national revolving accounts. There was one that I left out. Do you know what it is? Let's talk about it tomorrow.